once a population elects a politician, they are giving that individual a tremendous amount of leverage. And once they have it, school is out for the summer. It is open to social manipulation. It's open to financial manipulation. It's open to obfuscation. So often you see people who spend months or years trying to get a politician into office, only to be really disappointed by them within weeks or months of them getting elected. How much of this problem is a systemic problem, and how much of this is an engineering problem? Where are the tools and technologies that can help give large groups of people leverage over their political system? Rand Strauss is an engineer, and he's worked on this with an engineer's mind. He worked on a career journey that's taken him from the University of Washington to Stanford, applied math, computer science, and a career in software. And this question of how people can lessen the power of money in politics has been one that's stuck in his mind for a long time. For a long time, he's had a blog called People Count, and he's been developing software to go right alongside it. And this idea of reimagining the political system and building accountability in a democratic system using technology is one that he has worked on, developed, and fundraised for a while. So join me as Kennedy and I sit down and we talk about some of the origins of People Count, and we talk about some of the technological hurdles, and we also talk about the hurdles in communication, because obviously for any piece of software like this, it's going to require massive adoption in order to be successful. This is a long-running journey, and as you listen to this, definitely think about ways that you can participate in it. The website, by the way, is peoplecount.org. You can join Rand's mailing list. You can get updates, and maybe you can even see the People Count software for yourself and look for ways to integrate it into your community and your advocacy. Here's Rand.
I've been a software developer. I got into Stanford after college, and I didn't know that I should go. I didn't know anything about colleges. My parents never talked to me about that. My older brother and I were good in school, so they weren't worried. My younger brothers had some problems, so they were focusing on them. Mainly my mom. My dad was working. I got into Stanford mainly because I got lucky and I had a teacher who had connections that I didn't even know about. But I didn't go. I went to the University of Washington 2 years. Then I did math and science. And then I transferred into Stanford because I discovered the University of Washington. It didn't seem like it was for me. And so I looked at all the engineering degrees and liked product design because it did problem solving. But the grade was based on how you could build things, and I couldn't build things. So I quit college for a year. Found a job programming, converting a punch card program to something else. But I went back and finished an applied math major and stayed to do a computer science master's. They didn't have a computer science undergrad at the time. But I loved problem solving, and I got to do a lot of it in computer science. A lot of it is, you know, numerical or organizational, you know, abstract. And then I did software for years. And so I took, are you familiar with the Landmark Forum?
I've heard of it.
Landmark. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a wonderful course. I recommend it highly. You go to landmarkforum.com. And I took it when I was 28. And then I stayed on and did some seminars and an advanced course. And I had breakthrough after breakthrough because I was a nerd. I thought I wasn't wanted as a kid. Had no friends, you know, until like end of high school.
Rand, if I can briefly interrupt you, the reason why
And then
the Landmark Forum only struck me vaguely was because, outside of the nonprofit world, I work in personal development, and it's like a crossover from a different world. I've forgotten that, like, oh yeah, the Landmark Forum. Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I know about the Landmark Forum.
So I took a new look at politics. I let go of my resignation. And I thought, the internet's been around now for a while. And what's new about politics on the web? And it was disappointing. For 2 months. And I tried all sorts of things and searched and talked to my representative or wrote to my representative. And then in the course, we were looking at language and conversations. And we, especially part of the homework was to have new conversations that have never been had before on the planet. So I started talking to people about politics. What would it be like if we had a political system that we loved? What would your role in it be? And it was something nobody had ever thought about. People were stumped by it, had nothing to say about it. A little bit of trite things. So I did that for 2 months. And then for 2 months, I asked people if we should solve the problem, if we should fix the problems in politics. And again, people thought we should, but we probably can't, and like that. And meanwhile, people have been trying to fix it and have had projects to pass new laws and blah, blah, blah. And when I, in that first 2 months, it was frustrating because there was really no way to say what I wanted in a decent way that could make it known. And there was no way to find out what people wanted, except for surveys, which struck me as, asking surprised, mostly uninformed people what their top of mind thoughts were. And then I had to search for those. If I answered a survey, they wouldn't even have the courtesy to send me the results. And it occurred to me that if we had a political system that worked, that I would have a responsibility. Right? At least to say what I wanted and to know what we wanted. And what I realized was democracy isn't stable unless politicians are accountable to voters. We use the term accountability all the time, but nobody knows what it means. We use it to, holding someone accountable is to punish them
Means we're
for.
mad at them, yeah.
Yeah, and that's not what accountability is. When you work for someone, you're accountable. It means they're, first of all, you're accountable for something. It's usually whatever they want you to do, whatever you've agreed to do, the job description. And then you're accountable to someone. And that means that they can ask you what you're up to and you have to give status and they judge you for it. And you want their approval. And that's the main part of accountability at work. And yeah, they can fire you, but the main day-to-day part of, the reward and punishment is their approval. So they're judging you. That seemed to be what's missing. And basically, to have that relationship in politics, I'm going to skip the
Yeah,
slides
we the,
for a
the.
moment. The answer is that we should be voting on issues and seeing the results in our districts for our district, states, and the country. And when we see what it is for the district or state, we know what our member of Congress or senator, House member or senator should be doing. And when we see what it is for the country, it gives us an idea of what's possible. Yes and no. Other wants come up, but yeah, they're sort of in your mind, but you have nothing to do with it. So, they fade. There's no point in wanting. In fact, if you want stuff about politics, you're frustrated. If you start learning about an issue, you see, oh, there are possibilities. And then you're really frustrated. So we have this negative feedback for, this disempowering relationship with politics. And so it starts with voting on issues and seeing the results and having expectations. But then there are all sorts of problems in politics, and one is with campaigns. Can you imagine running a campaign?
We've helped run campaigns, and
Yeah,
it's
we've run campaigns.
And there, it's enormously inefficient. Politics
Yeah,
has evolved
wildly.
to be the arena in which the parties fight for power. It's not set up to be the arena in which good people, you know, tell us who they are and interview for the position, or it has not evolved to be the arena where we can easily see who's running and their qualifications. But it could be. The second part of people count would be where on each issue, you could check a box saying, I want a monthly report on this. And the politicians would send you a report, you know, it'd be on the site, and you'd get a notification about it. So you could go on the site on an issue and see what they all say about it. Mm-hmm. And as an incumbent, you know, if I were a member of Congress, I would say, you know, sort of summarize, this is what we want. And it'd either be, we don't really don't want this, or we like it the way it is, or we sort of 50-50. So maybe we should do something for the worst parts of the problem, or we really want to move on this. I wouldn't have to actually have positions. I could just be your, you know, service provider to get to represent you. And if you want X and the country wants Y, I would come back to you and say, you know, we ain't going to get this, but there's this other thing, and maybe we can get just this part of it onto it. So it's, you know, I could talk to you, and I could both lead you and say, you guys want X, but Y is really better. Let me explain it to you. And you might see, oh, there's some sense in that. And then you could like change your vote. You know, that's another problem with surveys. If you have an epiphany or study afterwards and find a different outlook,
yeah,
you can't correct your answer, but on people count, you can. Our politicians would communicate with us, and we would grade their reports. So we would be giving them some feedback, judging them. And that could be just a grade on how well they're representing us, or it could be several grades, like for honesty, completeness, you know, that sort of thing. So over a couple of months, you would get to know your politicians. And I say politicians instead of the incumbent, the office holders, because challengers would report to you as well. So you'd easily and naturally get to know them just on the issues that you're interested in. You know, right now, most of them have newsletters where they tell you what they want to, you know, they pick safe subjects or inspiring subjects, and there's all sorts of things we never hear about. Plus, they don't say, you know, what the expected timeline is, or you know, it's for other people on another committee that have to decide this. They don't tell you who their person is that they're in touch with. You know, they can't tell you anything because probably nothing's going to get done. On people count, they could, and we could expect that. And challengers would say, you know, if I were doing it, I would give you these things and, you know, make sure I get back to you in a month and move that along. Right? Money wins elections. But using people count, you'd have better communication with people when they want it on the issues they want. And this would be both written as well as a video copy. So people could, you know, have an empowering way to interact with it. And campaigns could be less money. And candidates could even say that when I'm in office, when I'm in D.C., I won't fundraise. I won't need to. And the same thing with people. People could, you know, would end up making majorities on issues rather than for a party for the whole thing. It would be empowering for voters. And there'd be a lot of pressure for Congress to pass legislation that we want.